ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we haven't talked about this in a while. I know we got Knicks and Spurs, whatever. We got the best pitching matchup in baseball tonight. Spencer Arrighetti, who has been fantastic against Paul Skeens, who hasn't been fantastic lately. ERA over 3 now. He's given up. His last 3 outings have been iffy at best. I'm hoping they know that and they watch film of what people have done. Okay, Joe?
Oh, I see what you just did. What people have done. There it is. A Libby Dunn reference. I knew he was going to do it.
No, I didn't make a Libby Dunn reference.
You were doing it.
What they've done against Paul Skeens.
Again. What they've done against him.
Well.
That's class. That's class A sass right there.
And Libby Dunn. Okay.
Have done?
I don't think about that.
Well, she's ruining him. It's in this long line of ruining top young athletes. Here comes somebody.
Well, they were together when he was good, though, too.
She's the Brooke Shields. So,
do you think it goes the other way? Where a female athlete.
Where he ruins her influencing?
Where a female athlete is at the top of her game. She dates a guy and he ruins her. Do you think
or
it goes the other way?
Or dates a girl.
What about
a woman?
Either way.
You don't have to be like that,
Mel. The whole point wasn't to suggest that women don't date other women. I'm trying to figure out if you
it
think...
It could be women ruining another woman.
Understood. The point is, I'm trying to figure out a way not to blame women. Do you think men can be...
Of all the months that you're talking like this, Del.
Good for you, too, for playing a game I'm not playing. Do you guys think men can be blamed for ruining a female athlete's success?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Don't think so.
Just
wondering. What about a female who helps a man get better?
He doesn't ever say that, though. He always talks about them being ruined.
I know, ruining it.
Well, I think sometimes in some instances we know the Brookfields effect. We know it's been Anna
the Kournikova, Kardashian effect.
The Kardashian effect. Anna Kournikova did it to the great
to who?
What's his name? Who takes forever to do a shot?
Anna Kournikova.
No, come on, John, the golfer.
Who do you think? Anna Kournikova?
Sergio.
Sergio.
He was ruined by her.
Yes. Look at the nanny did to Tiger.
Well, she maybe told him to slow down.
She took him down. She hit him with a golf club or whatever.
You're blaming the wife for ruining Tiger?
She hit him with a golf club.
What else happened before then that led to that?
I mean, there's some
syrup on his junk.
There was some other stuff.
You picked, of all the women you could pick to blame for Tiger's downfall, you picked the wife?
Dell, I'm heat checking, okay?
Well,
I just crossed the line. I'm going from the logo. I'm shooting from the logo.
Well, you just airballed.
He's on fire! No, and I think Libby Dunn may be doing the same thing to Paul Skeens. We may be in the middle of a great teardown right now with Libby Dunn and Paul Skeens. We've seen it happen before.
What do you think she's
Annika
doing?
Annika Sorenstam probably had a great man behind
college
her.
When he was really good.
What do you think
Lindsay
she's doing?
Davenport probably had a great man behind her, making her great.
Lindsay Davenport.
Also, women's track and field, excellent women's track and field runners, all of them. I'm not going to mention my name because there's too many of them. Probably have some great men behind them, Del, don't you think?
I'm asking you. You seem to be the expert.
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Yep.
Kersee was behind her.
Harold Kersee.
Tom Kersee, whatever.
It was probably Jerome Kersee. It was probably Jerome Kersee.
Probably not Jerome.
Might have been. It's impossible to know that.
Flo Jo, we know she was married.
She was. Yep.
Don't know where she got that stuff she was taking, but
R.I.P. to FloJo.
Yep.
There's a long list of supportive men behind.
Well, let's support Spencer Arrighetti. Here is Joe.
He's got a supportive wife. Had the twins, and now that the twins are born, look at him on fire.
Yep,
he's
look
doing
at
it
that.
For them.
Yeah, look how much better he is since the twins.
Yeah.
So it's the children, the kids, that bring you back to life. The children. Because Fred Van Fleet went on a great run that one time when he had his child. When his significant other had the
you
child.
Feel but, joy. You just feel that joy
so
until
the kids,
they get to be teenagers.
The kids are the supportive
influence. Until they're teenagers, and then they sap you of all your
everything.
Energy and hope for life.
They ruin everything. Here is Joe Espada. He's excited about Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch Spencer go out there and compete and get us the first win of this series. He's been really, really good for us. So we got to, you know, forget about this one and get ready for tomorrow. And, you know, we have one of the hottest guys in the American League on the mound for us. So it should be good.
I mean, all jokes aside, it's hard to get a good at bat against Spencer Arrighetti. Now he will miss the zone. He'll pick a little bit. Sometimes I feel like it's not that he's just picking at spots. You know, Fromber didn't want to give in, so he would rather walk you than let you have a pitch that you wanted to hit. I don't get the sense that's what Spencer Arrighetti is doing. I get the sense that sometimes he just misses a zone. But that's the only chip. But he's worked out of any of that. Like, he's been incredible at working out of anything like that.
Yeah. And he's facing one of the – this is a really good offense now, this Pittsburgh team. They can hit. Let's see. He doesn't – here's the deal. He doesn't get much run support. Really, really good pitchers don't get run support. For whatever reason, the offense clams up because – I don't know. I think they want to hit badly for him, and they just don't. Two runs he got. 0 runs he got. 3 runs he got. 1 run he got. 5, but they give up 10. He just does not get ready. He got 6, but he doesn't get great run support. That bodes well for Spencer Arrighetti tonight because Paul Skenes has not been great, and the offense is not great when he's on the mound. So let's go. Bet Astros. You actually going to get one of the best American League pitchers, and you get odds. You get 132 back if you bet $100.
And you're coming off another Yordan home run. I mean, you know, it's actually not a bad play.
No.
Based on what Skenes is doing. Skenes is no Mizrowski.
Nope.
He can't even. Mizrowski pisses excellence.
Well,
Skenes is just some guy with a gymnast influencer girlfriend. That's all.
Well, Chandler's the second hardest thrower in all of baseball, and they took care of that business last night.
Well, I mean, they scored 2 off him, right? I mean, they end up with off Chandler.
They got 4 off him.
Did they get all 4 of them off him?
Well, yeah. 4.
They got 6 last night.
They got. They got 3 in the ninth, and they brought in their closer.
They got 3 off Chandler.
It was over after that.
Well, they got 3. They got 4, actually, but one of them was unearned.
Right. 3 but, 3 earned off him, yeah.
But,
yeah, your guy, Mike Burrows, not too.
Shout out to Mike Burrows.
Shout out to his 5 walks and 3 strikeouts.
I mean,
we were walking so many.
That's the problem. Joe talked about it after the game. He's like, yeah, you can't give up home runs with men on base. Well, you can't walk. Guys,
you know, it's funny that they had 11 strikeouts. They struck out the Pirates 11 times, but they had, my gosh, they had 8 walks.
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy how many walks the Astros have this year. The numbers are staggering relative to what we're used to.
You guys get going 2-plus hours without mentioning the failure that was Brian Abreu is pretty impressive.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm just used to that. Well, but he's been pitching better. Not his last, he'd given up a run previously. And then yesterday he stunk again. He had been pitching better though before then. He had been snapping out of it a little bit, but now we're back to Abreu. Now if he does the third straight time where he gives up a run in a third straight outing, then we'll be back on him. But yeah, we haven't even mentioned his piss poor performance yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's like every time.
A combined 3 hits / walks in 1 inning. Not great.
But big ups to the Astros because they're now second to last in walks in the league, not last, which they had.
Oh,
they
pitching were, walks, you mean?
They're second to last in walks, giving up walks.
I guess that's great.
They've given up 295 walks this year. They're in 62 games. 62 games, and they've given up 295 walks. That's awful. I mean, goodness gracious. Only the Angels are worse, 300 walks.
So they gave up how much?
295 walks
in how many
62
games?
62 games.
Good Lord. Last year they gave up 471 walks, which was the 8th most in the American League, averaging about 2.91 walks per game. But that's 162 games. You're at
five walks a game they give up.
You're at 295, and you're not even to the halfway point of the season.
Well, you got 100 games left. Now, you got 100 games left. They have to go 54 and 46 to finish 500.
Okay, so the record, I don't think they're getting the record, John. The record is
54 and 46 to finish 500.
The most walks allowed in a season is 827. That's by the 1915 Philadelphia Athletics.
Yeah.
Probably two starting pitchers who had nothing but complete games that whole year, I'm sure. So you're not getting that. You're not going to get that stat. But you still could end up leading the league in walks. It is attainable.
Well, yeah, you're only five behind the Angels. I mean, let's go, boys. Let's go. Keep it up. 100 games left, and you got to finish 54 and 46 just to hit 500.
Yeah, but what about make the playoffs? 500, whatever. That means people getting fired. What about making the playoffs? What's the record got to be?
The record of walks since 1960, I'm still on this, 66 years, 735 walks by the 99 Colorado Rockies, who are freaking out because of their stadium, 3.44 walks per nine innings. Are the Astros on that pace? They're behind that pace, but it's up there a little bit high.
Yeah, I mean, they're on 3.6. They got a chance.
How many games have they played, John?
62. They got 100 left.
So they're averaging.
They're averaging 4.75 a game.
Wait a minute. How's that possible? The Rockies only average 3.44 per nine innings.
4.75.
We're way ahead of that. That's what I just got, 4.752. So
they're,
and they've got 295 walks, you said?
Yeah, they're on pace right now to have 770 walks.
Yeah, that would be the most in the last 66 years.
770. Fortunately, the Angels are on pace for worse.
For even worse.
Yeah, but not by much. Yeah, 400. No. Yeah, on this pace, they'll have 475 more walks, which would put them at 770.
Actually, yeah, okay. So I was looking. So since 1926, over the last 100 years, 835 is
835, I think, is unattainable. We're trying to be great, but I don't know that we can be that great.
No. The 1949 Sox.
And by the way, big ups to the pitching staff. They're now second worst ERA in the league to Colorado. Second worst.
It's actually a really big improvement from where they were. They had a huge... They had 0.7 runs per game higher than any other team just like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's actually, they have improved.
Now, Brian Abreu's doing his part.
Yeah, he's still up there.
He's doing his part, but he's not, I mean, he's just got to get even worse if they want to lead the league in ERA.
And you know, he's not going to get benched. He's going to keep pitching. You don't really have a choice. They're not going to send him down.
Fortunately, Hader's back, and you know he's going to be able to pick up. I think Brian Abreu is they got to put him in like in a four when they're down five in the sixth inning. That's where Brian Abreu's got to be now. I mean, goodness gracious, dude, he's got a 7.91 ERA. 7.91.
That's after he's been pitching better.
Yes, he's improved.
He's improved to a 7.91.
He's actually gone down. He gave up another three earned run. Yes, it's just awful, awful. His ERA, yeah.
See what you did, ERA, Bill? You tried to pull us off, Brian. You tried to say, oh, you guys said, what you did is he reversed psychology to us so that we would attack Brian Abreu.
His ERA in May was 1. And he still had an ERA of 6.87 coming out of the month. His ERA was 1 in May. Mm-hmm. And he still had an ERA close to 7.
His ERA was 1 in May?
I'm glad he got back on track in
June. Yeah. His ERA
right
was 1.
I don't know if that's back on track.
He's back on track in June, though.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
that's
eight,
not the kind
nine,
of back on
10
track.
10 outings, and his ERA was 1, and he still was right at 7.
What are you talking about not back on track? You've been talking about wanting to be, you know, achieving greatness, having the worst ERA in baseball. What is Brian Abreu doing in the month of June?
He's doing it.
Getting
doing
you back on track.
Yep. We don't want the Astros to be bad. It's better when they're good.
No, they're bad.
I don't think they're going to be good, but it's not great when they're bad.
No, but
there's only so many jokes we can make.
Since they're going to be bad, can I get like worse than the league bad?
Yeah.
You what's can. The, I difference? Mean, he was a big part of the pitching rotation over the last couple the bullpen rotation over the last couple of years. It sucks that he's literally one of the worst.
I wasn't looking for that to start the year, but now that we're here and it appears the Astros, when they play a team with a pulse, revert back to what they've been this year. Let's strive for awfulness going forward.
Strive for awfulness.
Yeah, Brian Abreu. Yeah. Why couldn't Brian Abreu stuck around for another batter or two? Who knows what he could have been, what he could have done.
Well, if we're gonna be bad, we might as well.
Yeah, let's at least set a standard for futility as an Astro.
Get a great draft pick in 27.
Get that done.
Yep.
Draft picks, boy, we kill them with those.
Yeah, we do. Time to talk. You know who's killing it, Sterling. We were out there. We had a golf tournament out there at Sterling National. It was awesome. We really appreciate you guys. Thanks for having us out there. We really had a good time. We didn't play Houston National Golf Club. It is right there. The two of them are together. Those of you in Cyprus, let's go. Get on over there and play a True Link style course right there, Houston National. They've got a lit driving range, lighted driving range. And they got the back deck bar and grill where you can enjoy some libations while you're hitting some balls. What? Yep. A lot of fun. Keep on going up 290 to Texas, to College Station, Texas A&M. And you got the Golf Club of Texas A&M located right there on the A&M campus, ranked among the top public courses in Texas. And then take a right and head down I-10 to Louisiana, Cypress Bend Golf Club in Manny, Louisiana. Gorgeous. It's set along the Toledo Bend Lake. It is. It is really, really pretty. If you fish and golf, what a great trip for you and the boys. You can even bring the wives because they will love Cypress Bend. If you've never been to Toledo Bend Lake, it's beautiful. You got fishing. You got a stay and play packages available. Three incredible courses, one standard. Visit Sterling Golf. That's Sterling with one G. SterlingGolf.com. SterlingGolf.com. Book your next round today at SterlingGolf.com.
ESPN 97.5. Independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I'm going to make a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich today. I've decided. Got all the ingredients. Let's go. Went to Italy and picked up some really good Italian bacon. What?
What is that?
Italian Italy? Bacon. You've never been to Italy?
No. I've never been to Italy, but I'm obviously very well aware of it. I walked by one of the Italys. There's several of them in New York, but I never went in.
You got to go in.
Yeah, I heard they're
fantastic.
Great.
Italy is like three levels of, and I think all of them are about the same.
Yeah.
There's the one in Chicago, and it's just like the one here in L.A., and I'm sure it's like in like the same way. There are three levels of nonstop Italian everything, food, that you, everything you could possibly want. Restaurant, bars, grocery. It's fantastic.
You know, my son works at a place like that called Mercado here in Houston that is like highly acclaimed. They open a new restaurant. Their chef is really highly acclaimed, and they yeah, he works there, and he's getting to know all about Italian stuff there. One of the parents, he One of the owners is from Italy, and they bring in all their stuff from Italy. So they've got, I know they've got that kind of place here too.
Yeah.
They have all the, I went in there and everything, it looks good. Like everything, yeah, Italian food is pretty good. It's funny, it's never really taken off big in Houston. We've had Italian spots that are, you know, it's considered good. I don't think, I never see them considered, you know, one of the best in the, like the best restaurant in the city or anything like that. Not like in, you go to Chicago or New York, really any other major city, and Italian food seems to be bigger than it is here for whatever reason.
Yeah, Italian
food. I'd imagine L.A. has huge Italians.
If you could eat only one food.
See, you're not going to like my pick.
German sauerkraut.
No, that's low down there. I would actually eat Vietnamese.
Vietnamese every day?
Noodles. I get sandwiches. I get beef. I get pork. I get chicken. Well, I'm also, you know, kicking in. You get wings if you want. Vietnamese restaurants, some of them, depending on some of them.
You can't get chicken and all the Italian.
Italians don't have chicken wings.
Yeah,
those old ladies. Those old ladies don't do chicken wings.
Yeah.
I would probably do Vietnamese. I get rice. I would probably do that. I could go to Roostar every day. It's just Vietnamese, but it's got a little extra. It's not exactly traditional.
No.
Vietnamese. Mine would be Italian. Too much red sauce. My acid reflux would be in shambles. Yes.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Mexican would be just too, it'd just be too heavy, I think, all the time. What would yours be, Del? Pizza King? Just continue to eat the same slices of cheese pizza?
American. He'd probably eat American.
No, we can't pick that. We can't pick hamburgers and chicken.
What do you mean? You could pick one style of food.
Well, that's an easy one. Doing American.
Who wants that?
Yeah. Well, we're more varied. That's the one thing that popped real quick when I was in Tokyo. It took about 4 or 5 days to realize, ooh, there's not as many choices here. It's a lot of the same stuff over and over and over.
Well, yeah, those people. Like
I love sushi. I couldn't eat that every day.
No, God, no.
I just couldn't do it.
No, I like when they cook their steaks on a rock, though.
That's cool. I like rock steak.
Yeah.
What can rock Del not hear in there?
I don't care.
He doesn't care about
your
show.
Your choice was going to be Italian, wasn't it, John? It's got to be.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What are you, nuts?
Yours wouldn't be French, where you can have escargot every day? There are snails on my girlfriend's plate.
Someone 3780.
Hey, 3776. Congratulations to the SEC and the Big Ten for trying to just completely subvert the Protect College Sports Act that's out there. Now, the reason is, so for those who don't know, it's a bipartisan bill. Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell, Democrat from Washington. Ted Cruz, you know Ted Cruz, a sports fan who likes the jinx teams. The Associated Press, the bill is drafted to preempt state laws that conflict with the provisions in this bill. And that apparently is the big deal with the SEC and the Big Ten conferences. Quote, the bill leaves critical issues unresolved, including not meaningfully preempting state laws with the federal one, which has long been considered a key element for a measure to get support from the NCAA and the conferences. The bill called Protect College Sports Act would provide the NCAA with an antitrust exemption to enforce several rules that have been recently challenged in court. In other words, this is to keep them from losing in court, so they provide them the antitrust exemption, including limiting transfers and athlete eligibility, which they want to have at 5 years, and prohibiting schools from poaching a coach during the season. The SEC Big Ten statement came out less than 24 hours before a scheduled hearing about the bill in front of the Senate Commerce Committee. Cruz chairs the panel, and Cantwell is the ranking Democrat. The legislation has received support from the Big 12 and ACC, but the Big Ten and the SEC is the two richest leagues that have the decision-making power over the future of college football playoffs hold the biggest cards. And it says one of the biggest provisions would give conferences an option to pool their media rights, an idea the Big Ten and SEC have long claimed would not result in a financial windfall that proponents suggest. The league statement did not speak to that issue, blah, blah, blah. Here's what's going to happen. Congress is having to step in because there is no, because it's anarchy on the college side. They don't have any real rules. Every time they try to enforce anything, they get beat in court for the most part. And now they're trying to create some guidelines, a bipartisan group out of Congress, and you can step in. I mean, there's a lot of people who do not want congressional interference. It's funny. I know some people who are like anti-big government, and now they're pro-big government for stepping in and taking care of college sports, which is a little hypocritical. But I feel like
they almost have to.
I feel like something needs to be done. But the problem is, the SEC and the Big Ten are just gonna take their ball and go home at some point. That's what they've thinly veiled threats.
Unless they prevent it in this deal.
Yeah, but then they hold the cards to try to nix this anyway. At some point, they can just break away. You can put this deal on the table if you want, and they can still break away. You can't keep them together. They'll break away from college athletics. And that's the problem, is you got these two big swinging you-know-whats, and they just want to do what's only right for them. And they don't care. They've already busted up the Pac-12. They didn't care about that. And they don't care about college football. They care about their college football. That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, because there's some good teams, you know, for years and years. And I think there's a lot of people who are like, so what? This is free market. This isn't free market. That's not even what this is at all. Not really. When you look at this, even in free markets, when you look at, you know, employment and things like that, contracts matter. Contracts are actually enforceable. And only in college athletics are contracts not enforceable. And it starts with the coaches. The coaches can bolt whenever they want to. Now, not assistant coaches. It's funny. Assistant coaches are locked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the head coaches who can leave whenever they want. And they act like, well, it's, no, they have a buyout. Oh, these buyouts. There's no buyout with any teeth. These buyouts are meaningless. So, I don't know.
And the Lane Kiffin rule is in this thing, too, where you can't recruit a coach during the season and during the playoffs.
Should be common sense. Shouldn't be allowed, period.
It's just, because these schools, there's no... I hate government stepping in, too, but they have to, because the NCAA is so toothless. The NCAA is so weak. It's so terrible that somebody has to step in to save it.
And now they've been beaten by court precedent. So once you have precedent on your side, now the ass kickings continue to pile up.
Well, that's the problem with the NCAA. They're scared of their own shadow now after every single time they lose.
Yeah.
Every time.
You're right. They don't want any beef with it.
We can't. They're paralyzed because of all the losses that they've taken in court. And why do they care? That's not their money. It's NCAA money.
All right, before we get to a break, let's get Chris in here real quick. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Yesterday I was listening, and I didn't have a chance to call in. Y'all were talking about C.J. Stroud and even his lunch decisions, maybe chicken nuggets. I'm driving by the Texas Stadium right now, and it got me thinking, when Hannah puts Cal in the high chair for lunchtime, do you think he's more of an Uncrustables guy, chicken nuggets, maybe a steak filet, and she just cuts it up in little pieces for him? What do y'all think? What do y'all think Cal has for lunch?
First of all, Cal listens to this show. Okay?
That's what he said.
He said that. He told me multiple times he listens to the show. Well, he told me multiple times in one conversation.
Okay.
I've only talked to him once ever. We know he's a verified and bona fide burger guy. He goes to Pete's Fine Meats all the time, or has it delivered, actually. Picks up Wagyu steak and Kobe beef, and he does ribs. Michael said that he grills like a mother. Like he gets a bunch of, you know, he got the other day the Wagyu brisket and did a bunch of briskets over his house. So I don't think you can put him in a high chair, Chris.
But what about random Wednesday in June when he's not barbecuing?
He's just having a burger on a random Wednesday. Always BQing. He's ABQing.
Does he sit in a high chair when he eats the burger?
No.
Okay.
Now it may be a stool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think they make high chair big enough.
No, wait. He could be at a bar stool.
Yeah, but that's what Chris is implying.
But they're higher.
No.
That's not what Chris was implying, though.
And he cuts his own meat, probably.
Cuts his own meat. Stop this, Chris.
Chris.
You dummy. Stop saying that about our owners. This
dummy.
Is stuff you could have said 4 years anymore. But not anymore.
Well, why
cut
why?
The crap, Chris.
You well,
you could still.
Now our
be
quarterback does like
childish foods.
Yeah, but he's a barbecue guy. He's gonna.
I would agree.
He's gonna eat meat. He's
well.
We know what he's eating.
Not chicken nuggies.
No.
Our quarterback may or not
no.
may.
No,
may
I could see him eating wings. I could see Cal eating wings.
That's an adult food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a big Wagyu guy.
I don't think Hannah needs to cut up anything for Cal.
What's that?
I'm a big Wagyu guy. It's too...
well, if you're talking about Kobe beef, that's the one that's super fatty.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fatty. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's, you got to cut thin little pieces and...
It's so...
Rich.
Filling. It's like you're eating sugar.
Yeah, it's off the charts. You got to cut
fatty.
Little... Yeah,
I'm a ribeye guy.
Well, Wagyu isn't necessarily like that. It's fattier, but the Kobe beef is the one that's like.
All right, why don't you? That was ugly, Chris. Don't do that again.
Yeah, hey.
Cal listens to the
show.
Hey,
cut it out. Cut it out. Now, CJ's food choice, I do get the sense that he does make safer decisions.
You think
decisions.
Hannah cuts his food?
He used to go down to Burger Chan. CJ.
Who did?
CJ. They say
CJ
really
Stroud
nice.
Went down to Burger Chef?
Burger Chan. Right downstairs from us.
Not anymore, though. He's new, fitter season.
Well, yeah, now he's just getting, skinless, boneless, skinless.
Of course.
Skinless chicken,
that's
probably
no
grilled.
That's right.
No, so I don't, John, let our quarterback eat, but eat sensibly.
That's not good for you.
Eat reasonably.
No, are you kidding me? That guy is he's redoing, this is a glow up. This is a CJ glow up we're in the middle of right now. Yeah.
Apparently, he was still throwing interceptions with being with his new body type.
Haircut, new body.
I did read that he got picked off, but so how are you? This is a team full of ball hawks. What are you going to do?
Well,
they did say the offense is substantially better this year than they were last year. They literally couldn't move the ball.
We heard that they couldn't snap the ball last year without pre snap penalties in mini camps. That's what we heard.
We love
today,
some pre-snap penalties now.
The Texans have advanced to being able to snap the ball in year two without penalties.
I'll take it.
All right.
That's the report out of camp.
Baby steps. Time to talk about getting some tickets for some soccer now.
Yeah, you got to win them. You got to win them. You can buy them if you want to. Good luck. I mean, they're really expensive. I know a better way to do it is the Michelob Ultra Soccer Shootout that's going on all the way through the 14th. I got five locations for you. No, four locations. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Here are the four locations. This promotional event is going to run through June 14th. And all you have to do is you show up at any of these events that I'm going to be telling you about. You compete in an interactive soccer shootout game. The winner is, it's not like you're taking PKs from the greatest, penalty kickers in the world and you're trying to stop them in goal. That's not what it is. You all have a chance to win. And you can go multiple times if you don't win. The winner's going to go home with a pair of tickets to the Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Here are this week's event locations and times. This Thursday, June 4th, 7 to 10 p.m., you're at Rock Newtony Sports Bar in Clear Lake. You've got an opportunity from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Tri-City Beer Garden in Pasadena. On Friday from 9 p.m. to midnight, Social Beer Garden in Midtown. And then on Saturday, they're at J Bar M from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Edo. Play for a chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2-1-26 and ends on 5-31-26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
ESPN 97.5.
Life
at John and Lance. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
For whatever reason, this came across my timeline today. From Texas Football Life. In 1973, the Rice Marching Owl Band was nearly taken hostage by angry Texas A&M fans. During a game against Texas A&M, the band mocked the Corps Cadets and the Fightin' Tex Saggy Band by goose-stepping across the field in a German military-style march. They also took shots at Reveille, forming a fire hydrant while playing Aware, Aware to My Little Dog Gone. After the game, a crowd gathered outside the stadium waiting for them. The Rice Band ended up hiding in a tunnel beneath the stadium for nearly 2 hours. When it was finally time to leave, they were loaded in food trucks and driven out of the stadium under police escort. There's a picture of the Corps of Cadets fighting in all kinds of mayhem at the stadium in 1973. This is where, that's where the owl weirdness started, right?
Yeah, the mob throughout the Southwest Conference days, yeah, that's what I, my dad got his first chance in the Southwest Conference at University of Houston. And they were considered like, the mob was held in a certain level of reverence across the conference because they were just, they could just take people apart at halftime. I mean, you knew the football team was going to be terrible, but they're the marching out band. It wasn't until later I'm like, these guys are kind of dorks. But when I was younger, and I think all the fans back then, before we all got really cynical, were recognized that their humor, like nothing was off limits. That's pretty hardcore. I don't know. The goose steps might be a little much. that might be a little much. Mob. The mob stands for marching out band. But yeah, they're hardcore, man.
Yeah,
they were. I don't know about anymore.
I don't know that.
And Aggies still were hardcore too. Well, by the way, they also tried to beat up a guy pulled a saber on an SMU cheerleader who was spelling out SMU on the football field because you're not supposed to be. That's a sacred, you know, that's a sacred land, the football field. So the cheerleaders got on the field and this Corps cadet member pulled out a saber and was threatening to, you know, go to work and go full on spill his guts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, well, relax, Aggies.
What was it they did? Oh, they did a salute to zero at the U of H game.
Oh yeah, what was that about?
Well, that was they got it ended up finally the grade point average was zero.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. No, yeah. They're pretty. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I don't they, know. They're that, known are, they, as being, are they still? Does anyone know if the?
I don't know anymore. I'm no. sure there's something, but it used to be at halftime when you played Rice, you were going to walk over the football team, but at least the band was going to, you know, was going to take a shot at you.
Yeah,
and which maybe was, some other Southwest Conference team.
Yes. Now that somehow, some way they'd get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and well, in 1973 they almost got.
Yeah,
you don't mess with the Aggies.
They
now.
Do. They don't.
In 1973,
I think they're a little better about joking, but the Aggies don't. They're not known for letting you joke around with them a lot. It's not really their. That's not really what they're known for. They get pretty. If the Southwest Conference, all those old teams, the teams from Texas. Their personality would have been, I know in the past, likes to fight because like the cousin that's ready to fight. You think you're better than me? Take it outside. Like, all right, Aggies, you don't have to try to fight every time we get together.
I don't know that the Aggies are still, the Owls are still like that or the Aggies are still like
no,
that?
No, Aggies.
Yeah.
Aggies are, no, Owls don't want to fight.
No. But are they still as vicious as they used to be?
I don't know. Know. You don't. I mean, based
no
on the
knows.
Stands,
it's impossible. To
anytime
know.
I watch a team that's played, when I'm watching tape, right, and I've got the sideline shot, and of the all 22, and I'm watching a wide receiver or cornerback or safety, somebody I need to use the wide shot, the sideline shot, and it's in Rice Stadium. It's like, oh my God, there's just. Just so few people in there.
Yeah,
I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for the program. I'd love it if the neighborhood people just said, hey, let's just go out and, you know, watch some football. I'd love it if they could pull in even 14, 15,000 every game, but that's not going to, I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Yeah. That's why JT, he couldn't take it. He's
cool
like,
little area.
I got to get out of here. He couldn't take it.
He couldn't take it, so he went to Missouri.
Missouri State, yep.
There's more people in the stands there. A lot more people are in the stands there.
Yeah.
I think Rice always wanted to be like the university of the neighborhood, but that's just it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. Del, what did we miss today?
Did you see that the Brazilian national team got baptized in a plane? You know, they do the whole They get the fire trucks as you're, and they just shot water across the plane. I wouldn't want, it would freak me out, but that was their send off as they get, as they join the rest of the countries as they make their way to North America for the World Cup on the tarmac. And they just had water, high pressured water hoses shooting across the plane to say, good luck, everybody. Let's go win us another world title. Do they bless that water? Or does a priest come and bless the water coming out of the fire trucks, or is it just strictly? Then it's not really a baptism, is it?
I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, so it happens when like teams win titles. They'll have like the fire truck shoot two fire trucks on each side of the plane. They'll shoot water across as like the send off or a celebration. Apparently, this was to send off Brazil, the Brazilian national team, in style as a bit of a hey, we love you guys. Go do your best, and it was termed a baptism. So, hey, we're about a week away now, just over a week away.
Is that it?
Yeah, the first match is June 11th in Mexico, so we're just over a week away from the games. The U.S. has one more friendly before they wrap up their preparation. They'll play the gym, and so Lance, house divided for you. See who you side with in that one. We know you have allegiances.
Ich bin der von Klon und Steinheil. It's not true at all.
It is true. I'm listening to it right now. I just heard it.
Not true at all. I'm looking for who the favorites are in the World Cup this year to win it all. And it is France and Spain are 4.7-1, followed by England at 6.5-1, Brazil 8.5-1, and then Argentina and Portugal 9.5-1. And Germany is 15-1. They're not one of the favorites.
And the U.S. should be up there.
No.
Ooh, let me see. No. Scrolling, I'm still scrolling below Colombia.
Keep going.
Below Japan, below Morocco, below Mexico. Mm. There we are. We're actually even with Mexico at 65-1.
The U.S. has the worst odds of any group favorite to win their group. But they ranked they gave percentage points to everyone most likely to win their group. The U.S. is favorite, but at 37%.
Dude, I watched.
No one has that type of percentage across all the groups. No one's under 40.
No.
They're the only team under 40.
Yeah. I watched Untold Story, Get Off the Bus, or whatever it's called, about the French World Cup team in 2010.
Imploded.
Yeah, that had all this talent. They were one of the favorites, if not the favorite. And their coach, their manager from back then, is a major part of this documentary, as well as their captain.
Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away. I'm just telling you what it's about. They completely imploded because the manager got into a riff with several elements of the team, and it turns into a disaster.
Yeah, it's very famous that, as he mentioned, that French team was very, very talented, thought they could win a World Cup. They're coming off losing in the World Cup final, the World Cup before the Zidane headbutt.
That's the Zidane, yeah.
That was a previous tournament. And this was a team who imploded. I remember they either lost or tied some team that early on in the group stage that wasn't very good.
They tied them.
Yeah.
Like nil-nil, and it was somebody who couldn't play.
Yeah, it was clear that they were in real trouble. And then this documentary goes into all the things
I mean,
happened.
Did you see it too, Dale?
No, I just remember that time frame.
Yeah, it goes deep. They bring in all kinds of little pieces. It's really, really...
I'm going to watch it.
It's
yeah.
really fascinating. I think England's got a real shot this year.
I think Untold is a really good series.
It depends on how they do it. Like the Florida one sucked because
Florida one, we were all excited about, and it was the worst I've seen.
I watched the Jamie Vardy one. That was good about his rise. That was pretty good. The striker.
It seemed like he liked to party some, don't?
Yeah, he came from a place where not much was expected of him, and he played soccer on the side as fun, and then he just rose up the ranks and he became a star. Of course, it culminated with Leicester City winning the Premier League in that surprise. So that was fun to watch. And he's, you know, as he got older, he kind of figured himself out and matured, and now he's one of England's legends, at least on the club level. What else did we talked somewhat about the Stanley Cup? Vegas keeps winning. They went into I don't even know. Where are they? Where's Carolina? I know it's Carolina.
In
is it Raleigh? Okay. They went into Raleigh and won 5-4. Carolina scored with like 23 seconds elapsed in the first period. They scored the first goal, but the Knights fought back, so they're up 1-0 in that series. That's about it. I mean, not a lot going on. I will I did see this, and it's got to be kind of the worst, this is my life now type of moment. Jared Verse is from Ohio, I believe, but imagine you wake up every day, and you don't like L.A. very much, but he seems to like it. You wake up every day, you get to go play for the Rams, and all the expectations,
got
and all
chance
the glitz,
to win championship.
Glitz and glamour, yeah. Being a Ram, and then one day later, you walk into the Browns facility.
Oh, in Berea, I've been there.
That's tough.
It's not great.
That's tough. I don't know where he was situated in L.A., but I'm sure it was a pretty nice place. His money's going to go far in that area. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But
a lot further than here.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see?
But still.
But there's no Erewhons there, John.
Yeah, you got to be a Brown.
Yeah, but did you see how much taxes that Myles Garrett is going to have to pay? He's going to make $177 million over the next 5 years. And he's only going to take home under 100.
But he's no longer a Brown. There's the trade-off is great.
And, yeah, no, it's a big taxes, we know. But he also will get marketing opportunities out the charts.
Yeah, but, yeah, he's going to get about 40% of his money.
And now he doesn't have to convince his very famous girlfriend to hang out with him in Cleveland. He's dating.
Who's his girlfriend? Megan Thee Stallion.
No, it's not her. It's an Olympian. I don't know if she's a gymnast.
Sophia Cunningham.
Nope, not her. That's Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah, Sophie.
She's not Olympian. She's just a player, a blonde who plays for the Fever.
Caitlin Clark.
No. Oh.
She's an Olympian.
I think you would know if he was dating.
Angel?
It's Reese? Not. No, it's either a figure skater or a gymnast. I forgot.
Angel?
No, a
Christy
skier.
Yamaguchi.
A skier.
Did you see Brittany Griner?
Oh, not
Chloe
the blonde.
Chloe Kim. Chloe Kim. He's dating Chloe Kim.
Oh, he's dating Chloe Kim.
Wow. Yeah, he doesn't have to convince her to hang out with him in Cleveland.
No, because Chloe Kim's not
going
to Cleveland.
She'll be glad to be in L.A. Benefits, too.
There's a ton of benefits. And if you've got the amount of money where it doesn't matter, and then you get more marketing stuff, like the quality of life there versus Cleveland, and a chance to win?
Yeah.
This is literally like getting out of prison.
Listen. Chloe Kemp, she's little, isn't she?
Well,
she's a skier, so she may be a little bit bigger than you think.
Yeah,
but yeah, she's not. Obviously, she's not Myles Garrett size.
She's not a gymnast.
She's anything.
Not a gymnast.
Yeah. Why just
fully grown at 4'8"?
She's 5'3". She's not tall, but
actually, it does feel kind of small for a skier.
Yeah, but she's not 4'11", flipping around
like Shaq's wife.
The ex-wife.
Yeah, that. Wow. Never mind. I don't want to think about that.
Never mind.
What I do want to think about.
Thank you for your discretion.
Let him tell it. This is an HR commercial coming, too.
This is HR. This is all about HR right now. And luckily, okay, I know HR&P is listening. So just in case I would have said something about that, then guess what? Then I'm going to get a call, and I'm not going to get a call now. I had a meeting yesterday about, what's going to happen retirement-wise and all of that. All I have to do is call HR&P. Our 401k is awesome. I got some stuff that I'm going to change around, and it's so easy. Because, listen, HR&P has set it up so that your employees are empowered to take over their own futures. It's so simple. You don't get the call, my payroll this, but HR&P takes those calls. All of your employees will have access to HR&P, and any issue that you have or anything that you want to change or anything that you want to do, HR&P is there for you. I messed up and put in too much for my retirement one paycheck, and I didn't have anything in my paycheck, and they fixed it for me because I screwed the whole thing up. Listen, if you're looking for the best way for your HR and payroll, and you don't have to do anything. We have a part-time employee that takes care of our HR and payroll department. That's it. Because HR&P takes care of everything. Okay? They do everything. And the thing about it is that you need them very little because HR&P takes care of everything perfectly. You're looking for a partner that's going to take care of all of this for you, like our partner, HR&P. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break. Your home for the NBA Finals is ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
So Atlanta, a lot of times a judge will meet with lawyers, but also with the police. Atlanta Police Deputy Chief Kelly Collier, he met with federal judge Eleanor Ross in her chambers during business hours. Let's listen in.
That cannot be real.
That's real. Oh no, it's real. That's a fact, Jack. She kept her job. She's keeping her job after getting caught having a 2-year affair with Mr. Collier. She loud now.
Wow. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking credit to Collier.
Yeah, big ups to that dude.
Putting in work.
I mean...
And she's married, too, by the way.
They're both married, so they're both married.
Oh, he's going to get the same energy as we had for Diana Russini and Mike Vrabel?
No, we
will give him that same energy?
No, because we don't care.
Tomorrow, we're going to talk about Eleanor Ross, and we're going to find out what's happening with her husband. What did she say on X about her husband being a simpleton? Mm-mm. Like Diana Russini kept saying about her own husband.
Yeah, I just... That's just not. That's listen. The husband would know if that's his wife, right?
Or he wouldn't because he never got her to that level.
He never got her there.
You gotta
feel bad.
Oh, that's not great to have that happen. But yeah. Eleanor Ross, maybe that's just who she is too.
Yeah.
It says she's a federal district court judge who was subject to a private reprimand for having sex with a police officer in the chambers. In earshot of law clerks.
Well,
in earshot of law clerks.
That's earshot? That law clerk was outside her office.
That law clerk could have been in the building across the way and been able to pick that up.
Yeah. Earshot. Do you think there was an earshot?
Whatever earshot means now.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying, honestly. I just know that.
It's within earshot.
She, while being reprimanded, appears to be able to keep her job. She ain't
going
nowhere.
That's a surprise. That's at the location.
That was at the courthouse.
How is she keeping her job? That's wild.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't an HR issue because not a subordinate. Just another official.
No, but if you're doing that with a police chief or whatever on the premises, that's pretty much usually grounds for firing. This is pretty astonishing. That's all that happened.
She got a private reprimand.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
Is that what she calls what he did to her? A private reprimand? What Collier was doing to her?
Can you keep it down in there? I mean, you're really disturbing. That's hard to work out here.
We don't like to judge what other people do in their bedrooms, but you're doing it in the federal courthouse. Could you knock it off? Or at least quiet down.
It was now. In fairness, it was in her chambers.
But it's still a federal courthouse.
It's still inside the federal courthouse.
I get it, but it's not your chambers.
You're paying rent? Yes. You paying a mortgage on that?
In British Regency,
you want her doing that in your bedroom?
Her chambers might have been her bedroom, but now her chambers.
Well, what does chambers mean? She was like, "Hey, it's my chambers."
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
For now, because you're appointed or elected, I don't know how she got the position.
Well,
but
all I know is chambers. Guess what?
She should have
stuff happens in chambers.
Well, she should realize that chambers can mean certain things, but for now, do that at home or quiet down. I don't even think they mind her having sex in her chambers.
Just be quiet about it. Try to be a little discreet.
I don't think they're actually...
The only reason it's a problem is because people know what's going on because she's too loud. If she had been quieter, people could have assumed, but there'd be no sound, there'd be no audio, no video. She would have been fine. Have all the illicit sex you want. Just quiet down about it.
Yeah, that wasn't her first time, by the way.
Yeah. Well, no, they've had a 2-year affair now. So,
it says the Chambers workplace affair was extremely uncomfortable and troubling for clerks. So they all knew about this.
Yeah.
And I tell those clerks, mind your business.
Well, how can I mind my business when you're screaming?
Well, still mind your business. Stop talking. Mind your business. No snitching. That's always a rule.
Well, somebody, I mean, it was, you don't have to snitch.
Sorry. Sorry, because the 50-year-old is getting that work done and you can't. I don't know what the clerks are doing, but hey, perhaps if you weren't so pent up, you wouldn't be so likely to snitch on her. Go get you some. Maybe not at the courthouse, though, because that's her realm.
Yep. All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes are next right here on ESPN 97.5. Before I go, though, I need to talk about my peeps over at the Golden Nugget. Golden Nugget is what I think is fantastic for us. It's just 2 hours down the road, a couple hours away, okay? Depending on traffic, maybe 2:15, depending on where, if you're in Katy, 2:30 maybe, okay. But you have to leave for the airport 2.5 hours before your flight. So before you even get on your flight, you could be gambling at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. And the casino is a Vegas-style casino. It's perfect. And as a matter of fact, it's got the Rush Bar in the middle of the casino, just like in Vegas. Same deal. All right. You don't know you're not in Vegas when you're at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. It's the same as any really good casino that you will see. The hotel, fantastic. I mean, Tillman gets a hotel, he's going to make it nice, and it's going to stay nice. He don't fool around with that. It ain't going to get old. It ain't going to be shoddy. And you're going to get a beautiful room. Great bet, everything. All right? We've seen it. We do it every time. We're going to do it again the 15th and 16th of this month. So we'll be there in just a couple of weeks. But everything you could possibly want with 12 restaurants and golf course and pool and everything else right there at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. By the time you get on your plane, you could be at the tables at GoldenNuggetLC.com. That's GoldenNuggetLC.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Bye.